Are you good? Good. Right. Oh, good. Shall we? Oh, look. It's very loud. You're trying to catch me out, Paul. Is that? Oh, he's trying to shut everyone up. Is that what it is? Good. All right. Well, I hope you had a nice coffee. And it's good. Paul, I don't know if you can. Have you got the slide for the RORA, the conference slide? Is it there? You notice how it says 10 to 11 and 11:30 dot, dot, dot. I've been eyeing this up all weekend. You thought you were going to be getting out of here in an hour. No, it's good. It's good. Well, it's been a good time, actually. Do you know, I just... No. No, well, it has been a good time. Yeah. I think, it's funny, isn't it? Sometimes you come, with your ideas about what, you're going to talk about, you believe the Lord's given you. And often it's just through the process of just being together, you just hear the Lord speak to you, don't you? And not that I didn't expect that, but it's just always nice when it happens, isn't it? And you just sense that God has, in a sense, made some of these things, real to me again. And it's just, and we need that, don't we? We need, as Christians, we need the Lord to keep making things real to us. And so it's been a real privilege to be here, to be honest. And I've personally really, really enjoyed it. And just enjoyed being with you guys, and just listening and some of the songs we sang. I mean, like, we don't sing some of those songs anymore. And it's, and that's not a comment on whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just, sometimes it's lovely, isn't it? And just, you just hear the Lord. Well, some of them are a little bit old, Malcolm. It's just, it's, my boys said, we don't know any of the songs they sing here. We knew one or two. But that's not actually a bad thing. It's just a comment. But yeah, so we've been talking about, the church, haven't we? And we're talking about living in the house of the Lord together. And I suppose really what I want to talk about, I just wanted to do, I wasn't sure when this was fitting, but I think it's worked out quite well. It was funny, Peter started talking at the end there about singing, and about singing a song to the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about, singing. Because I just want to talk about singing and our gatherings together, because I just thought it would be good again just to have just talk a little bit practically around what does it mean to be together in the Lord, and particularly when we gather together in meetings, how do we do that, and it's, I'll be honest, probably a lot of things I'm going to say this morning aren't, brand new information. It's not like you're suddenly going to go, oh, that's new, I've never heard that before. But I think sometimes it's good just to encourage and remind each other, isn't it, of some of the things that the Lord has given us. The Lord has given us a range of tools or activities, things that we can do together, that if we do those things well with the right attitude and the right heart, it helps draw us together as a family of God, and it helps us to just grow on in Him and mature together, that we all might come to the knowledge. And so I just want to talk about some of those tools again this morning. Some of this stuff is not going to be new, but let me just pray quickly and just commit this to the Lord, and then we'll kind of go on. Lord, we just thank you for all that this weekend has been, Lord, and just, it's just so, Lord, I've just been so enriched, Lord. I was just sitting listening to Peter in that last session and just was like, Lord, I'm just so glad to have been here. Lord, I'm really just glad to have been here and just to listen to this and just to listen to your life being spoken. And it speaks life into my spirit and into my soul, Lord. And I just thank you for that. Just pray this morning would be life again to us, Lord. Lord, and just give me just the clarity of mind and the strength just to be able to just communicate that which, Lord, I believe you want to say this morning. Amen. 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 So I just want to talk about, our worship, our gathered times together. And what that means. And I don't know if you realise, but there are two, this is not necessarily biblical, but it's just, it's nice and convenient. There are two types of worship, I guess. There is vertical worship and there is horizontal worship. And obviously, when I say horizontal worship, we're not worshiping one another. But there is a vertical dimension. And so if you were to, Colossians chapter 3 says, set your minds on things above. So we are, when we come to gather together, we worship the Lord, we're setting our minds on things above. We're setting our sights on the Lord, on things that are above. And that is, of course, vertical. We're here and we're looking upwards to the Lord. And that's right and proper. But there's also a horizontal dimension to worship. And that is the idea that we are, when we gather together, we are called to encourage one another in that worship. And this is why I was saying to you the other day about why I struggle with congregations. If you gather and you can't see anybody, if you can't see anybody, you're missing something that I believe that God wants for us to be able to enjoy together. We need to be able to look at each other. I'm not quite a fan of this. I remember once I was at church and they said to them, look at the other person when you're singing this song. And I liked the idea of it, but it's weird. And it felt really uncomfortable. And it was like, you know, we were singing this to one another. And I was like, I'm not doing that. But there is this sense, isn't there, that we need to see one another, because it is this idea that during our worship times, we are to be mindful of one another. We are to think about one another. So we are coming and we're looking at the Lord, but we're also thinking, and our minds and our attention is also on one another as we come together to worship. And it's very biblical. And yeah, if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to like copy Peter's example. Let's try and see how many scriptures we can hit in a short space of time. Let's go to Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3. And it says, and again, you see this kind of vertical, personal, individual sense of worship combined with the horizontal usness of worship in these three verses, don't we? It says, if you are there, it says Psalm 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. These are very individual encouragements, aren't they? My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And then what does it say? I magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And so you see, that's that. If you were to say, what is our gatherings together about on a Sunday morning? It's this. It's this simple verse, isn't it? I'm going to come and I'm going to bless the Lord. And it's again, I'm going to give. Do you remember what I was saying yesterday? When we approach Sunday morning or the prayer meeting or a home group, it's this attitude, I am going to come and bless the Lord. And my praise will continually be his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And my soul will boast in the Lord. But let's do it together and let's exalt his name together. Let's go to Psalm 95. Let's go to Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2. And we see again, there's something wonderful, isn't it? None of this is new to you, but it just hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. Psalm 95. This is where, if you've got your phone, it's a lot easier. But we don't believe in phones, do we? No. not as Bibles. In our church, our youth leader, Pat, refuses to let the children use their phone, doesn't he? He's got a thing. He makes them dump all their phones in a box when they come to the meeting. So he said they have to bring a paper Bible. It says, what does it say, Psalm 95? Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Again, do you see how many times Mark is encouraging us to read scripture collectively? We need to encourage one another, don't we? There was a chap that used to be in a church that I was at when I was a young man, and it wasn't really a fellowship church at the time. And he used to spend a long time at the beginning of the meeting exhorting everyone to enter into worship. And sometimes I just wished he'd shut up so we could get on with it. And we want to encourage, but the attitude was, we're in this. Come on, let's encourage one another to worship. And sometimes it's really good, isn't it, to stir one another up and say, we have got to do this together. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. When we were banging our tambourines yesterday, we were making a joyful noise and we all did it together. And it's wonderful. And we come into his presence with thanksgiving. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 24 and 25. And it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, let us, again, just these collective commandments, these plural instructions, let us consider. Let's think about it. And that's what I want us to do this morning. That's really what the purpose of this morning's message is. Let us consider, let's think about this together. How do we stir one another up to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so this is, it is so important that we have this in our mind, our attention. I suppose if I were to sum up what do I believe the Lord wants us to take away from this little morning's gathering together, is to take seriously the encouragement to really prepare our hearts when we come together and to really see when we gather together, it's significant and it's important. And we don't just want to kind of turn up, roll in, you know, at 29 minutes past 10, or maybe you're a bit later than that. Maybe you're someone that comes in late and you kind of sit in and think, oh, great, here I am. And that's it. Our hearts should be orientated to encourage one another because we are needed. We read it yesterday when we did communion, didn't we? The weakest member of the body is indispensable. You may not think you've got a great deal to bring or say or contribute, but you do. And I want to talk particularly about how we do that. And I think one of the major ways that we can do that is through singing, through the joy of singing together. And praise God, there is no requirement for you to be in tune. It's not relevant. It isn't. It is not the. It's nicer if it's in tune, but it's praise the Lord. It's not relevant. And so, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let's open that. Just read that because I'm just gonna. We'll keep coming back to that, I think. But it's let. How do we, so it says, so first of all, why do we sing? Why do we sing to one another? Why do we have singing in our gatherings? It says that we are to teach one another through what we sing. And I know I keep coming back to that song that Tim picked yesterday, but I was like, there's some such rich theology in that song that it's teaching me. As I'm singing, I'm learning. And, you know, one of the things that I like about our movement, such as it is, such as the book has instructed us, a new song, you can read all about our movement, is that we have a wonderful balance, I believe, between, when it's good, between really rich hymns and songs like that include basically three words. I say, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. I mean, there's not great depth of richness in that particular chorus, but it's kind of that balance, isn't it, between those rich, deep hymns that are full of theology and teaching and understanding, and then some of these simple choruses, sing Hosanna, that express some of the life and the joy of what it means to be in the Lord together. And I think we do actually do that very well. But we are to teach one another and admonish, challenging one another. So we are to challenge one another through our singing. Well, what does that mean? And this is why it's good to have songs that are challenging. You know, we sang it yesterday. What was it? The four questions. Have you been to Jesus? That is an example of a song which is challenging. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? And it's interesting that Anna responded, like, you know, in a sense, just responded to the Lord in that song, because it's a challenge, isn't it? That song is admonishing you. And it's interesting how many of our songs do have those kind of questions written into them. You know, there should be a challenge in what we sing, because often it's as we sing it, I mean, you can listen to me prattle on for another 30, 40 minutes or whatever, but sometimes one or two lines in a song can have more impact on you. can't they? Than someone just talking for ages. And so we need to make sure that we are singing. And that's, to be honest, one of the things I've just so enjoyed about being here this weekend is just singing. And we've sung, and particularly, again, I partly point out that, you know, we sing songs I don't sing anymore. Sometimes it's really nice to sing things you don't sing very often, because it, like, it brings it all new to you. You know, it's like, it's all well and good singing the same. Most churches, and I do a lot of worship, and most churches tend to sing about the same 20 or 30 songs again and again, to be honest. I mean, and it's good to make sure we do really keep our variety going. And it's good when someone picks a hymn that no one's heard of for the last 20 years and people can't remember, because sometimes it brings it fresh to us, doesn't it? And so we need to consider this importance of singing, because really, singing draws us into the realms of the Spirit. And this is what Peter was talking about this morning. I mean, I was like, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking, if you just stop now, it'd be perfect. Just stop at singing, because then I can carry on. But it's true, isn't it? There's something about the singing that God has ordained singing to bring us into the realms of the Spirit. And I think that, you know, those of us that have really known those times when God has moved powerfully in the Spirit, often as someone begins to sing, we are drawn into something of the Lord. And it's really wonderful. I was at Christmas, we were staying with Peter and Ruth, I began rereading the Narnia series. If you've read the Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, I don't know why I picked it up, but I thought I'll read it. And do you know what's really interesting about the Magician's Nephew? The way that C.S. Lewis describes creation is in the context of it's a song. And he's kind of, I think, I mean, C.S. Lewis, although he's a real teacher, in many ways very prophetic, I thought. And so I just want to read it to you. And it's in The Magician's Nephew. It says, "In the darkness, something was happening at last. A voice had begun to sing. It seemed to come from all directions at once. Its lower notes were deep enough to be the voice of the earth herself. There were no words. There was hardly even a tune. But it was beyond comparison the most beautiful noise he had ever heard." And have you ever considered that possibly God sung creation into being? God sung creation into being. There's something in song. And I always remember I was listening to a talk and about the Spirit. You know, it says the Spirit hovered. The Spirit hovered. And, you know, there's a sound to hovering. There's a sound to the Spirit, you know, that kind of the vibration. Another word would be vibration, and vibration makes a noise. And in a sense, is it that there was almost out of sound, that God created out of sound? And so as we sing, we're drawn into the realms of the Spirit. And in Job, which is probably the most ancient book in the Bible, Job chapter 38, verse 4 says, God's talking to Job, isn't he, at the end in chapter 38. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And what does it say? It says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." And it's, again, I mean, I'm not going to write a book on this. But it's just a prophetic thought, isn't it, that God sings. And so as you're singing, you're not just, as we start to sing together and we sing in harmony together, we are actually joining in with something, with a song that has been sung since the foundation of the world, which is why as we sing together, we're drawn into the sense of the realm of the Spirit, because God himself is singing. But it also, if singing is at the beginning of all things, singing is also at the end of all things. And if we went to Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "And they sang a new song." There's a new song that's going to be sung. It's interesting, it says new song, doesn't it? It's not just a song. This is almost like if there was a song that's been sung over creation since the beginning of time, at the beginning of the new world, there's a new song that God begins to sing. And of course, it's the song of the Lamb, isn't it? "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed your people for God from every tribe and tongue." And we read it this morning, didn't we? "Every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them a kingdom and a priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." I think it's verse 9. I've written 10, but I might have written it wrong. 3:16, wasn't it? 3:6. It's not 16. That was Peter. It's 16 again. Sorry, my notes. Apologies. And so, I just want to encourage us that that when we sing, and we might not, you might, I don't know how many people will be here, next Sunday, whether it's, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50, it doesn't really matter. But as we sing, we're entering into something eternal, which is why, as we gather, we shouldn't minimize the importance of Christians coming together to sing. Because we are entering into a realm of the Spirit that is precious, even if we don't feel it. And so, what is our expectation when we gather to sing? And do we realize that we're joining in with the heavenly host as we sing? And it's powerful and it's precious. But not only that, I believe that every single one of us has a song to sing. And I'm not talking about the one that, that someone's chosen from one of the books. God has written a song into your heart. And we need to learn to sing the song that God's put into our heart. And what Peter was sharing the other morning, sorry, was sharing earlier about the other morning when he was feeling oppressed. Really, the Lord's put in his heart a song. And as we sing that song, there's real power in the Spirit to move things. To move things in our life, to move things in other people's lives, to move things in the spiritual realm, because you have a song to sing, don't you? And it's not whether you've got a voice, it's whether you've got a song. And if you know that you've encountered Christ in a deep way in your heart, you have a song to sing. And we need to rediscover that song within ourselves to sing. It's precious and it's wonderful. Psalm 40, verse 3 says, "He has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God." And what does it say when we sing that song? It says, "Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." And I just want to encourage you that as you're coming on a Sunday, don't just rely on the singing of other people. What's the song the Lord's put into your heart? Do you sing at home? Do you sing at home? I encourage you to sing at home on your own. And praise God, you don't need to be musical. You do not need to be musical. In fact, how many of us can sing in the shower? Amen. You sing in the shower, don't you? Or you sing in the car or whatever, but you need to stir up the song in yourself. There is singing to be done, and it should come out of you, because there is something wonderful about singing a song. And it doesn't matter if, I sing to myself often in my own. Do you know the most precious times that I have as a Christian, the more I've got more in the Lord, is the times on my own when I sing to myself. And praise the Lord, Helen's out of work and the kids are at school. And sometimes I find myself, sometimes it'd be to worship music, sometimes it's just, and often that's when I find that God is just so present as I sing my song to the Lord in those moments. And if you're not doing that, I just want to tell you're missing out. You're missing out on something the Lord has for you. But I want to encourage you as well that as we come and sing, don't sing half-heartedly. And I want to read a little quote from John Wesley here. I didn't read the book, I just found it online. And I haven't read all of John Wesley's various different things. Apparently, it's at the beginning of a hymnal, and it says, "Sing lustily. Sing lustily and with good courage." So bang it out. Yesterday, I thoroughly enjoyed last night, and I heard Peter literally like blowing my ear off. And I was like, "But this is lovely. Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead." This is his encouragement at the beginning of his, we get our little songbook. At the beginning, John Wesley says to them, "Beware of singing as though you're half dead." How many of us come in like, "Thank you, Lord, for loving me." It's like, he says, half dead or half asleep. Some of us might feel half asleep when we come in, but we should sing with courage, with gusto. But lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor be ashamed of it being heard, than when you sung the songs of Satan. So I want to encourage you, do we come in and blow the roof off with our singing? Because we should. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're out of tune, because really, when you're worried about whether you're out of tune, really, what is it? Self. It's the sin of self again, isn't it? Creeping in. What happens if no one likes me, if I'm out of tune? Well, if you're in the spirit, all right, I'm sure that it will be in tune. My brother can't sing at all. He's dreadful, Mark. Really out of tune. But when he starts to sing in the Lord, doesn't it? There's something about it that's sweet. And because there's a sense it doesn't. If someone's singing with all their heart, I'm telling you, there's something about the Lord that just comes in. And I remember there was a guy called there was a guy in Eltham who was so out of tune that sometimes he'd start to harmonise because he was so badly out of tune. But he sang so loudly, and it was just, you know, an amen, right? But, you know, singing, you know, what does it mean to sing all these things? You know, it says sing in Psalms. Well, you know, that's singing the book. You know, how often do we just read scripture? How often do you sing scripture? That's an interesting thought. You know, not there's no, I'll just leave that with you. I don't have anything to say about that. but what about hymns? Hymns are, you know, songs of human composition. But I want to just talk about this spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. What does it mean to sing in spiritual songs? And I think really, because if you imagine that, you know, the in this little verse, it talks about psalms, so that's the scripture. Hymns are, you know, the songs that we all know together in hymns. So what are spiritual songs? And why did Paul include them as three? Are they just three the same things? Well, probably not. I think Paul is clearly identifying three different types of singing or songs that we can sing. And I believe spiritual songs are the spontaneous songs that come without us, and often they come in a meeting. I always remember the first time I heard this. I was in China, in Xi'an, and I was with a couple called Terry and Brenda Mosley. I was about 15 at the time. I was friends with their little boy, who's the same age as me. And I remember they going to, it was a WEC there, they were a WEC group of missionaries. There was a guy who we called Deep Voice Dave, and he began to sing in just, and it was obviously his form of worship. He just sang to the Lord. In a public way, like he just sang his song to the Lord, like you would have a prayer, he sang. And I thought it was hilarious at 15. I was like, this is really weird. And you know, it's odd to, in looking back on it, it was unusual to me, because despite the fact that we talk about open worship and everyone's free to do what they want, when was the last time you heard someone, I mean, that's not, don't answer me, maybe it was last week and I wasn't here, but you know, how often do we hear people just sing to the Lord, to sing a song to the Lord? And it is when you hear someone, there's some of you might know Jana Watson. She's John Watson's wife, and she's got an incredible voice. And I tell you, some of the most precious times that we've had together in worship in Eltham was when Jana would just go and sing to the Lord. She would just sing her song, and often it was a prophetic song. And often people would really respond because they would hear the Lord in the song. And if you've got a musician that can play along at the same time, that's even better, because then you've got this kind of musical accompaniment. And I used to try and play along and think, you know, where's she going now? Don't know, it's good, right? Okay, we're going there, good. But it was a song, and I want to encourage you, do, and it takes a lot of boldness, right? Like, who wants to suddenly like burst out into song? It's a bit like dancing. Nobody wants to be the first person on the dance floor, do they? It's always a bit, you know, you just feel afraid. But I just encourage you, if the Lord's put a song within you, don't be afraid to sing it, and sing it in the meeting, because I think it's wonderful. Because although it's terrifying, I do believe it can be releasing. You know, I occasionally sing in the spirit, and I've been trying to challenge myself to do it a little bit more from time to time. But often when you sing, particularly if you're in that place of, you know, I'm really afraid, I'm probably out of tune, and I don't even know all the words that I'm going to sing, but I just got heart to sing. Often there's release, right? There's release. As you sing to the Lord and you open your voice, often you just think, oh, Lord. And when you, particularly as you start singing and you think, God, this is good. This is making sense. I'm being able to string together a couple of lines here. And you think, well, isn't the Lord good? Because I don't know where that's come from. So I want to encourage you to stir that up. But also, if someone else start singing, listen to them. Listen to what the Lord is saying through singing. We listen to each other pray, but we should listen when we sing. And if you're able to, join in, because sometimes someone will just be singing one line and they'll just sing the refrain of a line over and over again, and you can join in, and sometimes it's precious. But we also, so we sing because it takes us into the realm of the spirit. We sing because it is, because we have a song to sing, but we also sing to encourage one another. Do you guys know Keith and Christine Getty? Do you know who they are? They wrote the song In Christ Alone. And again, this is this whole thing about, you know, I just want to read you. So they said, so when you sing, look around. Well, please don't just stare each other down. Encourage others with what you are singing, and expect to be encouraged by the fact that there are others singing with you and to you. All our individual stories meet at the cross section of a worship service. We're reminded we're not alone. We're members of a multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multi-everything family. We're reminded we're not sufficient, for we need a saviour. For we are reminded that we need not despair, for we have the Spirit within us. And we remind each other all of this as we sing together. And you know, some of the most powerful leaders in a church, right, are not necessarily the most prominent leaders in the church. Sometimes when you have someone in the congregation that's really singing to the Lord, they can really lead the whole congregation in worship, even though they're not at the front. Because if you've ever been, like I have been a few times, when you see people who are really singing out their heart and you know their story, oh, it does something to you, doesn't it? You know, if you see a young teenager who's been struggling with self-esteem issues and is being bullied at school and says things like, and sings like the line, "All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you've been good, so good." You think, yes, Lord, it's true. If they can sing it, then so can I. What about a bereaved man battling loneliness who declares after the loss of his wife, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And your goodness restoreth my soul." And it's as we sing to one another, that's why we need to see each other. You see, and you know, one of the things Helen's sister, Sarah, give a little big up to Sarah. I don't know if she often gets involved with worship, and she's got a lovely voice, isn't she? But one of the things that people, she's sung in lots of different churches, the ones that she's been in. And the thing about Sarah is she worships. And as she just sings, she doesn't do anything else other than sing, does she? But when she sings, people say, "There's something about your singing that encourages me." She's not praying anything or prophesying anything. She's not, you know, the lead voice that everybody can hear. But there's something about the spirit, the look on her face as she sings, that stirs other people to worship. And so when you sing, if you're singing heartily, lustily unto the Lord, and people know what you've been going through, it can have an incredible impact on other people around you, can't it? Amen. All right, brilliant. And so lastly, singing binds us and bonds us together in the Spirit. There's something of a binding effect that happens in the Spirit when we sing together. And we do it, people sing, really, if you want to bind people together, that's often where songs come in. Where do you hear most singing in our modern society? At football matches. Or at sports matches, and of course they all chant, you know, the songs of their team, and they chant some rather rude chants about other people's teams. And it's a sense of binding it together, isn't it? You know, if you're, the famous one is the Liverpudlian anthem, "You will never walk." Go on, Bill. "You'll never walk alone." And there's something, isn't it? Praise Lord, I don't ever want to go to Anfield. but if you do, I imagine if you're a Liverpudlian and you're in that stand and you're, have you ever done it, Bill? Yeah, and you're singing "You'll Never Walk Alone." There must be a sense of collective identity. We're Liverpudlians, and this is our team, and we're going to beat everybody else, right? There's a sense of identity that's created by that singing. Sorry?
They're top at the moment.
Yeah, we pray about that later. but it's true, isn't it? Whether we sing, wherever we sing has this ability to draw us together. A few weeks ago, I was down here and I went to lunch with Phil and Wendy, and they took me for lunch to the 10 Tours, you know, the pub. And of course, that terrible thing happens so commonly now, where someone brings out a cake and everybody has to sing happy birthday to this person, even though no one knows their name. And it's probably out of tune. It just feels slightly awkward, doesn't it? But even in that moment, as we sing, it's the singing together that somehow, as we sing, we're all unified around celebrating this person's birthday who we've never met and we don't even know their name. Singing has that power. And, you know, there's a science to it. I read that basically scientists have found that singing corporately produces a chemical change in our bodies that contributes to a sense of bonding. And apparently we have a dedicated part of our brain for processing music, supporting the theory that singing has, or music particularly, has a special important function in our lives. And the research suggests that by playing music and singing together is particularly potent in increasing social closeness and the release of endorphins. And more and more, don't we? There's dementia groups now. And what do they do in most dementia groups now? They sing, because they've realized that the power of singing is incredible for drawing people together, and people that may feel quite isolated can feel connected again. And so when you sing together, you're drawing yourself together in the Lord. And it's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. So, what's that? Sorry, is that? Do they sing at your group? Good. Sorry, I just couldn't resist it, Malcolm. Should have been quiet. Good. So, I just want to encourage us. I want to encourage us, right? Sorry, that was too easy. It was an open goal, really, wasn't it? Yeah, of course you will. Until this afternoon. Good. Right, amen. But I just want to encourage you. I know that we can sometimes think, oh, you know, being together as church, life together, it's really complicated and it's all of this other stuff. And I just want to think the Lord says is, keep singing together and really encourage one another in what you sing and come with a heart to sing loudly to the Lord. Let your own song sing out. You don't need to kind of have a new, not that you would have done this, but you don't need to overcomplicate it. Sometimes the Lord has given us the most simple things, and if we, but you know, focus in on them, the Lord can really bless us. I just want to read one more scripture, just a couple more comments, and then we'll have a time of singing together. As I said, it was dot, 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 so we've got loads of time. 11:32. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. It's very famous. We'll all know it. Because again, this is what it means to gather together in worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. And it says this, and you know it. How is it then, brothers or brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Why? Let all things be done for edification. There is this thing that God has created that, as you remember, we've been talking all the way, you know, we've been all the way through that really it is, there is something we cannot grow to be fully mature in the Lord without one another. We need one another. And so we need the ministry that we receive from one another to build us up. It's just so vital. And I know we know this. And I think it's interesting, this little book about the fellowships has come out. But one of the things that is distinct about the fellowships and is very precious is this open style of worship. And I think it is unusual. I mean, I remember I had a friend of mine that she was from an Anglican church in Sheffield, and she ran a charity, and she came to a church in Eltham to speak, and she couldn't believe it. She'd never been in anything like it. She couldn't understand the idea that people could kind of contribute in a meeting and have speak out and do things. It's not the normal pattern, is it, for church at all, really? And despite the irony is that despite many of these great theologians who absolutely have a great understanding of the Bible and they understand all this stuff, they still continue to really kind of, I don't know, skip over these kind of verses. And I don't really want to, because it really is a different type of church, doesn't it? If you really believe in this, it is a different type of church. But I just, again, just some challenges to us. You know, we have got, I do think that we have got this particular part, I mean, of the Lord's life together. We've got this, we're doing this quite well. Amen. We should encourage one another. But we should also not make an idol out of it, as some have done. Right, we don't have to make an idol out of open worship as though it's kind of this thing that almost, because it can be for some of us a source of spiritual pride. Almost, we've got that, we're doing it, we're right because we do this bit right. Well, yeah, you get this bit right, but a lot of the other stuff, they're doing better than we are. And so it's just, we learn from one another, right? This, the Lord has given us to this, and this is wonderful. But we should be careful that we don't make an idol out of open worship as though, because we can lose, can't we? We can lose the vitality of it. And this is a little confession time. When I was a young man, when I was in Eltham, and I was about 9 or 10, or maybe a bit older than that, we used to play something called Fantasy Congregation. Do you know what fantasy football is? Fantasy football? No, fantasy football is where you pick your players, and if they do well in the week, you get points for how they do, right? And, you know, you get bonus points. So if they score a goal, you get a bonus point. If they, you know, keep a clean sheet, the goalkeeper get points. Me and my boys, we play fantasy Premier League. So we used to play, as a child, we used to play Fantasy Congregation. And we would have a little game where you'd get bonus points for someone prophesying, and you'd get, if they prayed out, if they would stand up the longest, who was the last sitting down, there was a bonus point for who was stay standing the longest. And and if you started a song, that was bonus points, right? And all this kind of stuff. But the sad thing was about that, right, is that doesn't it tell you how you can get the form of something? Because you could start to predict who was going to do what. And we have to be careful that when we've got this wonderful gift of open worship the Lord has given to us, but we cannot take it for granted, because it can, much like anything else, just become the form of religion, and it can lose its vitality and its dynamism in the Spirit. And that goes for, and I'm not saying that we have it here, I've very much enjoyed it, but I think it should always be to us a consideration. Is there something fresh in what we're doing? And because I just want to challenge us, really, have we, and this is why things like spiritual singing is important, right? Because just as a comment, right, and this is just a comment, we've had lots please, hear it as for what it is. It's just been interesting to me, because I suppose when you've been thinking about these things, like we've had here this weekend, we've had lots of singing together, we've had lots of praying, we've had one or two prophecies, but there hasn't been any tongues. There hasn't been any spiritual singing. Again, that's not criticism. It's just a comment that actually there is still space within our gatherings to adventure together into the things of the Lord. And the trouble is we do get stuck into our ways of doing things. And I just want to encourage you, as you gather together, will you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm prepared for the unexpected. And maybe the Lord says to you, you've got to dance. Right, or you've got to, and you know, and that was lovely. What the spontaneity of, because we love spontaneity. The spontaneity of the shaking. I think Anna is really moving in the Lord when she encourages to shake the things, not shake our thing. But we should be spontaneous. If our meetings are the same week after week, and everybody does the same thing, we have to question ourselves whether we've just drifted gently into a pattern rather than the vitality of things. If what happens is one morning you say, right, do you know what, we're going to move all the chairs and we're all going to go around in a circle. Oh dear, but that's where I sit. You know, what's interesting, it amused me, by the way, that over the course of the weekend, people have found their seats. Tim and Sally are the only two that keep moving. And they like to move things around. But you do, you gravitate to your seat, don't you? And you sit in the same place. Matt sat in the same seat. You know, I think he maybe moved once, but he's got into his seat. Hannah sat there every time. You do it. Bill sat there every time. You do it because it's human nature, isn't it? To get stuck into our ways of doing things. And if we want, one of the great things about the early movements that we were involved with, or not I was, but you know, these churches were involved with, and I've had the blessing of, is that anything could happen Sunday, wasn't it? Anything could happen. Is that our attitude when we gather on a Sunday now? Or are we thinking, to be honest, we know what's going to happen? Amen. Amen. But we should have that approach, shouldn't we? We should have that mind that says, Lord, we're open to you and anything can happen and we're anything. And Lord, I'm willing to look foolish for you, because sometimes the foolishness and the breaking open of the heart, the alabaster jar that's broken open in worship, can often be the release of the Spirit. And we shouldn't just get stuck into these things, should we? And so if we're going to do that, if we're going to be minded in that way, there's really one thing we need to do, and that is prepare our hearts. When we gather together, if our attitude is to come and to really be a blessing to the Lord and a blessing to one another, we need to take seriously our attitude of preparation when we come. There's a guy in our church called Peter Roughhead. Some of you might know Peter Roughhead. And he's a lovely man, Pete. And he leads the meetings from time to time in our church. And without fail, the night before, he sends around a message to the whole church telling us to prepare our hearts. And if I'm honest, I don't ever do anything about it. And that's to my shame. And it's how many of us just hear that? But really, we need to own it, don't we? And Peter's right. Peter's sort of saying, are you on the Saturday evening, or on the Sunday morning, are you gathering all the way through the week? Are you thinking to yourself, oh, that's good. That's encouraging. I might be able to share that with the brethren when I come together. And obviously, if it's right, I'll share it. If it's not, you know, this is where we don't have to be self-piteous, do we? Like, I had something amazing to share this morning and I didn't get my opportunity and I'm not happy. Well, that's not right, is it? But if we're coming with that attitude, Lord, I want to have something to bring this morning. And it, that, you know, we don't have to beat ourselves up, right? There are some days when literally we're just feeling a bit, we've had a cold that week and we've been feeling rough. And, you know, and to be honest, the fact we made it this morning is good. Well, that's okay. Like, we don't have to. But as a general disposition, are we taking seriously this command to prepare our hearts to come and bring something? And I love this where it says, if anyone has a teaching, a tongue, a revelation. So when you come, have you got something to say? It's okay. Maybe you stand up and you just share something. You just share something the Lord's revealed to you that week, and that can be really edifying. And I think, I mean, I speak specifically to the church at Rora here. I know at the moment you don't have necessarily anybody that's kind of would call themselves a regular preacher. And you can look at that and you can be all self-piteous about it. Not that you are, but you could be. Or you can say, what a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful opportunity we have when actually everybody can come and we can really encourage one another. And my hope and prayer for the church here is over the coming months that you might rediscover a real richness in your gatherings where it's not the same old, but actually different people are coming and sharing and different people are bringing and you know, just sharing stuff. And that's what the Lord intended. I believe that's what the Lord has intended for his church. And so I just encourage you. But it won't happen if I just want to read this quote because I thought it was hilarious, right? It's a Spurgeon quote because we're all about quoting Spurgeon. And it said, Spurgeon once described a man coming from a meeting where everybody, a meeting like this, he was meeting a friend. And the friend asked him, how was the meeting? And the man answered, oh, it was wonderful. No one knew anything and we all taught each other. And it's like, you don't want to have that attitude either, right? We're not coming and just talking for the sake of it, right? We're not just coming on a gathering going, well, actually, well, it says in the Bible that anyone can bring a lesson or a revelation. I haven't prepared anything. I haven't thought about it, but I had this, you know, I heard a story once, you know, 30 years ago. Maybe I'll just share that. Don't. That's not the approach, is it? It's not just an opportunity to kind of, you know, just say something for the sake of it. Because I just want to encourage you, you can quench the spirit, doesn't it? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what's good. You know, those of us that are involved in worship and things, you realize the spirit is like a gentle blowing through a meeting often. Sometimes the spirit just comes and he blows very powerfully, and it doesn't matter what you do, he's just going to move and it's going to be wonderful. But quite often you hear. And this is what I do when I lead worship. I'm trying to hear the sound of the spirit, the rustling of the branches in the trees. And it is easy. The spirit is sensitive. I do believe that the spirit is sensitive. And if we just and we've got to learn together to hear the spirit, because often it can be in that prayer, isn't it? You just hear something in the way that person prays, and you think the spirit's speaking there. And if you just blaze in with like, oh, can we sing number 33, please? You can. In that moment, you can lose it. And you can lose that which the Spirit was doing. And so we do need to be sensitive and listening to the Spirit together of his gentle blowings in the meeting and just learn to kind of move with him as he does. And it's a dance because, it's like, I suppose the way I think about it, it's like as we gather, and the Spirit wants us to listen to him and move with him and not just do our own thing. Because that's what quenches the spirit when we come and say, well, I like number 33. It's great. It really is a good song, number 33. I don't know what number 33 is. But if that's our mindset, we do. The spirit says, well, okay, I'll just be quiet in the background again then. And it's that sense of listening to one another. And it's so important. So don't just come and take this as an excuse next Sunday to come and just, you know, giveth your peace. Say, Lord, I'm available. I've prepared some things in my heart. I'll share them if the Lord gives them to me. But if he doesn't, I'm not going to either. And I just think the Lord will move. So I think it'd be good for us maybe to have 10, 15 minutes, if that's all right. If we've got a little bit of time to sing together. To sing. How do we sing? I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. And I will give praise to my God. And I just think, hope it's been encouraging to you and a challenge to gather together and to really enjoy the Lord together. Amen for the dot, 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 Paul.